ជម្រាបសួរសុខសប្បាយទាំងអស់គ្នាខ្ញុំរីករាយបងជួបគ្នាម្ដងទៀតនៅហ្នឹង
Hello everybody. It's good to be here again. I've been really excited to be back at church here with you all. So for those who don't know me, or for those who might have forgotten who I am, I'm Isaac Aldifer. So I grew up in the house down here, and I've been coming to Zion for 23 years now. So this is where I grew up. And for the past year, I was serving with Mennonite Central Committee with SALT. So serving and learning together in Cambodia. So Irvin was asking questions up here. So what is SALT? SALT is kind of one iteration of MCC's 11-month young adult service program. So the other two are YAMEN, Young Adult Mennonite Exchange Network, or maybe Anabaptist. All MCC's acronyms are a little bit confusing. and then IVEP, International Volunteer Exchange Program. And so SALT is like U.S. and Canadians going abroad for a year. IVEP is young adults from abroad coming to the U.S. for a year. And then YAMEN is young adults from abroad going to other countries abroad. And so this year there were 17 SALTers total from the U.S. and Canada. And they were in places like myself in Cambodia and Nepal, Guatemala, Colombia, Uganda, and a few others. And then IVEPers from some of the same countries. And so we did a lot of interaction with the IVEPers during our orientation and then our re-entry at the beginning and the end of my term. And so I chose to do SALT about a year and a half ago. I wanted to get my feet wet with international service work, and I like MCC and trust MCC's mission and work. So I felt that was a good direction for me to go. And I was also pretty much wholly unfamiliar with Southeast Asia and wanted to change that. And the position that was open in that area, I was climate change resilience assistant. And so for those who remember, I studied environmental science in college. And so this was kind of like my introduction to a first job in my field. Micah, can you click the clicker? Can you turn it on the side? There we go. Okay, thanks. So on the left, you can kind of get a context of where Cambodia is in Southeast Asia. And then on the right, so my position, thanks. My position was in Prevang province, which is in the southeast of the country, highlighted there in red. And it's a pretty densely populated rural province. And so while I was there, I lived with a host family. They were a pretty traditional Khmer family. There's me in the middle holding one of my little host cousins. And then beside me is my host grandfather, and the woman in pink is my host mom. Beside her is my host dad, and then my host sister. And then the other folks in the picture are some of the other SALTers and YAMENers that were serving in Cambodia for the year when they came to visit me in the countryside. And so my location was about 3 hours from the main capital city of Phnom Penh, where the rest of them were living for the year. And so I made it into town about once a month or so to go visit them. And so here's my host parents again. Growing up, I always wanted to live on a farm and never got the chance. And so here I finally got the chance to live in a farm setting. And so we had cows, a couple different rice fields, and some chickens. And so this was a fun experience for me to kind of try that out for the first time and help with some farm work. And a big part of my living situation was also the multi-generational aspect of it. So my host grandfather, this man here, he actually hosted Andy Miller. He lives in Harrisonburg, works at EMU. He did SALT in Cambodia and then ended up working in Cambodia. But this was about 20 couple years ago that he lived with the same host family, where my host mom was his sibling. And so it was kind of a fun connection that I didn't realize until I got there. And then they started describing this person, and I was like, yeah, I know him. So the Mennonite world is small, as we're often reminded. And also village bonds were pretty close. There was a really like multi-generational, multi-family, communal aspect to how life happens in the countryside. And so there would usually just be like a pack of children running around And for a long time, they were my best friends and in the area too, because they didn't care that I couldn't speak very much of their language, and so they really didn't mind. So I love living with a host family. There were certainly challenges involved with that too. For one, I didn't speak very much of the Khmer language. They didn't speak any English, and so we had to navigate that, which was challenging for a while. I just finished college, and so I was kind of used to going where I wanted, when I wanted, and doing my own thing, and then was kind of tossed into a new living situation with a family that was pretty protective of me, and so having to navigate those new boundaries as well was a challenge. Other highlights of my time was helping with the farm work, and so one of the big things that I liked doing was at the transition between the wet and dry season, then we pumped all the water from the ponds into the rice field, and then we were left with a big muddy hole of fish. And so my job was to go get the fish. And so then my work placement. So MCC Cambodia, like a lot of other MCC programs now internationally, work on a partnership model. So MCC supports local partner organizations to do the work that MCC funds and supports. And so the organization that I worked with was called Organization to Develop Our Villages. And they're mostly a rural development organization that kind of specializes in food and livelihood security for a couple of districts in Prevang province where I was working and living. So here are just a few of my coworkers while I was working there. And so they kind of focus on two main areas. So food and livelihood security and vocational training. So on the right here, you see a picture of a guy about my age fixing like a motorbike. That was one program that they support. And then on the left, a woman farming papaya. The food security piece is the part that they've done for the longest period of time, for about 30 years. ODOV originally started as an MCC field office in Mesang, where I was living, in 1996. And so they've been there for nearly three decades at this point. And for those who know about Cambodia a little bit, you know there's been a fairly traumatic history in the recent past. And so through the 70s and 80s, there was kind of a series of civil war and auto-genocide and famine. And so there was a lot of stuff, there was a lot of catching up that MCC had to do when they got there. And MCC was nearly one of the only NGOs working in the country in the 80s, which was when it was occupied by Vietnam, which was a communist country at that time. And so most Western countries were not allowed to work there. But MCC had a few people that were kind of, that had a good relationship with the government, and so they were allowed to start working in Cambodia before most others were. And so the particular area where I was working here saw quite a bit of additional trauma on top of that. It was the location of a lot of American bombing campaigns in the 60s and 70s. And it was like one of the most heavily impacted during the Khmer Rouge regime as well. And it also became, following that, it became a hotbed for highway robbery and armed conflict kind of in the famine period after the genocide. And so there were a lot of needs in the Mesang community, and that's kind of why MCC decided to locate there in 96, because it was one of the most in-need districts in the country. And so that was why they established the field office. So now Mesang today has, it's come a long way from that period where it was in pretty rough straits after the famine, but it still has some needs. And so ODOV has kind of started to adapt its focus from just purely meeting food needs to kind of starting to work on the whole community. And so they work in 90 different villages in the province, which covers five districts. And so they also have really good relationships with the community that they work in, because they have been there for so long and they do really good grassroots work. And so I mentioned their food and livelihood security program. That was the part that I worked the most on. And so there were a couple of different components of like main targets for that project. And so there was sustainable farming methods. This woman here is farming long bean. It's like a kind of green bean. And so farmers, the idea is to create sources of income that also provide like a reliable source of food for families as well. And so vegetable farming and fruit farming is one way. And then fish ponds are one of the other biggest projects that they work on in this program. And the fish ponds serve kind of a dual purpose. One, they provide fish for sale and for food, but they also, Meisang is especially drought prone because it's a bit more raised in elevation than the rest of the province. And because they're in a delta, then it's all very flat. And so every little bit of elevation really affects the landscape and how that looks. And so these fish ponds were adapted by ODOV specifically for this part of the country, and they hold a lot of water. And so during the dry season and during drought, they can be used to water livestock, to water vegetables. It's like a form of disaster risk management that they kind of pioneered in that area. And then chicken production is another big piece that they work on. So just smallholder household chicken production. And then also another big piece is the formation of agricultural cooperatives, producer groups, savings groups, village banks, all these different kind of like leadership subcommittees and subgroups. And those serve the purpose of like providing loans and agricultural inputs for folks to improve their actual production. But also in the following the Khmer Rouge and the breaking up of trust between community members, then these groups help to establish that trust again between folks. And so it's been a really good way to kind of start that process again. And this photo is actually from like a gender forum. So ODOV does a lot of work with trying to improve gender equality in Cambodia. It's a pretty masculine society in a lot of ways. And so there's a lot of issues with domestic abuse and violence against women. And so ODOV has been starting a lot of projects in the past few years to focus their attention on improving women's rights as well. And then I mentioned the vocational training program. That's kind of the flip side of what they do. So migration is a really big problem in the countryside in Cambodia, where there just aren't enough jobs for everybody. And so typically people about my age or just after graduating high school will leave the countryside to go to the city and either get a job there or they'll migrate to other countries in the region. And that brings kind of a whole different set of challenges for them and their families. And so their vocational training program helps to provide apprenticeship opportunities for high school and freshly out of high school age people so that then they can find a job and they can actually start their own business, which is beneficial for them and their whole community. And so it kind of hits that problem from multiple angles. So then my job, when I was working here, I kind of had two different types of days. So some days I would be in the office, at the ODOV office, and I would work with my executive director on writing grants, writing reports, editing things, working on the website, kind of whatever he felt he needed help with. And it was helpful for them to have like a native English speaker because like NGOs and international donors require a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of like regulations for funding. And so that can just be tricky to navigate for even like English speakers, let alone somebody who English is their second or third or fourth language. And so that was sometimes. And then I was also spending a lot of time out in the field where I would accompany some of the other ODOV staff to visit either project sites that were farms or meeting places or committee meetings. And so typically I was less help in this setting because I didn't speak very much Khmer. I was mostly kind of set to take photos and interact with farmers and just kind of get a better sense of the context that I was working with so I could do my work in the office a lot better. So I was probably about 60-40 in the office and in the field, but that 40% I enjoyed a lot more than the office time. I liked being outside. And so I kind of struggled a bit for a while trying to understand what I was contributing very much, because my position was only for about 10 months, and it was mostly project-based, and it's not a position that's filled every year. And so it's not a critical position for the organization, and so my job duties weren't always, they didn't always seem very important. In reality, like, 1 year is not very much time to actually start to have a big impact. And so I just tried to have a small impact wherever I could. And so some of the things I think I was able to contribute were photos. So I took a lot of photos in the field, and now ODOV and MCC have those photos that they can use to promote their work in Cambodia and work with donors. And the reporting, I think, also improved during the time that I was there, just because I was able to help them with the English piece. And then I also did some revamping on their website and social media, which was a new task for me. I hadn't had much experience with that at all before. And then kind of equally challenging over the past few weeks is trying to think about, like, you know, like, what are my big takeaways from the year? At this point, I really still don't quite know. It was a really full year with a lot of challenges and a lot of good things as well. But so it's kind of hard to condense that at this point into one kind of like easy sentence. And so at this point, I don't have that. And so I'm kind of hoping as I continue forward, I start to maybe be able to reflect more and kind of understand how my experience benefited me and changed me. But I do think I grew a couple areas as well that I can see at this point from interacting with my community members, my host family, my coworkers. I think that I can always be more generous than I think I can be. That was a really important thing for me over the year. My family was just so patient with me. There was no way that this year would have been possible without like the level of patience that I experienced from people. Because you can do charades and stuff all you want to like communicate, but like you gotta have somebody who's willing to like try to interpret that. And that happened a lot. and so of course then my communication skills also improved because I had to figure out those nonverbal communication methods as well as learning a little bit of language as well. I got experience in a job in my field, navigating a new culture, navigating very unknown circumstances and contexts. And so I think those are definitely things that I can take moving forward and start to build off of. I think that's everything. So yeah, again, I just want to thank you all so much. The support that I felt from Zion financially, through prayer, through reaching out through the year every now and then, it was really great to have you all as somebody that I knew was a good support structure for when I came home and for when I'm gone. And so I really appreciate that. And so I guess I'll leave you with Prayong Lao Krop Bulayat. So God is good all the time.